Welcome to Enneagram with JB, a podcast about Enneagram personalities, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood. Hey, Jackie.
Hey.
I'm super excited about today. We are talking about chasing dreams, and you are going to share your story with us.
I am.
All right. So how far back in the story of your life are we going to be going?
I don't know. I feel like if I think about chasing dreams, I've probably been chasing dreams my whole life, especially as a seven with an eight wing, right? So it's that visionary, big picture thinker, like I'm going to have to go after what I want and I'm going to accomplish it because I'm going to work really hard to get it. So when I think about dream chasing, there's a couple, I feel like, encounters that I've had in my life that are specific to where I am today, for sure.
All right, so let's do it. You ready?
Yep.
So where are you originally from?
I'm originally from a small town called Rainham in Massachusetts.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, when I get mad.
Yes.
Or just for fun. Sometimes I say things that are very New England, just for fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. When I visit up north in Pennsylvania, where my family's from, my Philadelphia accent comes out and my kids are like, why are you talking weird? I'm like, I don't know, it's just like, it just comes back.
My kids just laugh at it now.
So how long did you actually live there?
I moved like a month before I turned 16. So, you know, all of those really important years, I was there. And then right before I turned 16, my parents are divorced. So my mom and my stepdad thought it was a great idea to move to Daytona Beach, Florida.
Woo woo.
I know. And this was like early 90s, guys. So early 90s, there was still like MTV was still having their spring break.
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting part of my journey for sure. I think it was right. I think it was the best thing that probably my parents could have done for me to change the trajectory of my life. But that was definitely a game changer when it came to what I would do next.
Okay. So you're in Daytona Beach, you're 16 years old, you're in private school. I know that just because I know a little bit about your backstory. And then you met your husband, Steve.
I did. I met him in school. So he's older than me, but his brother was a year older than me and he's a couple years older than me. So I met him in high school. He took me on this date. You know, I liked to date boys. And so there was a day, a weekend, you too. There was a weekend that I was single when he came to town and he was in college and he asked me to go on a date. We went on a date. He took me to the beach and prayed that God would have his way in our relationship. And then he went away, he went back to wherever he was and I went back to my boyfriend. And so I didn't see him for 3 years or longer. I didn't see him or talk to him or anything. I was in a long-term relationship that eventually ended after high school. And we went our separate ways. I think God got a hold of my heart and I began to really see like, this is not the path I want. I want something different. And the guy that I dated, he was like, yeah, I'm good with the path that I'm on. And so we separated ways. And then a couple years later, my husband came into the picture, surprisingly. And it was a very, very fast love, romance, all of it. It was very fast.
Yeah. How fast was it?
So 9 months from beginning to dating to marriage.
Oh, wow.
He proposed after 3 months and then we married 6 months later, long distance the whole time. And this was before cell phones, you guys. So this was like writing letters. We'd buy each other cards, like, and it was, like precious moments were the thing back then. So it was like these cards or, I love Winnie the Pooh. So there's just, we'd write each other cards back and forth and we'd collect call, or I guess it wasn't collect call. I think we would just.
You had minutes probably.
Well, we had no cell phones, so it wasn't cell phones. So it was. I'm calling on my parents' phone long distance. So I have to pay the long distance bill.
No free nights and weekends.
you know, it was very, very interesting. We didn't know at the time. I didn't know I was a 7. He didn't know he was a 3 because we didn't even know the Enneagram. But when I look back at the story, I'm like up for an adventure, right? And I'm like, yes, all the things. And he's a 3. So he's like fastest way from point A to point B, marry the girl.
He actually proposed to you on the way to college, right?
Yes, I finally was like, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do this. And I drove out to Tennessee, met him and your husband, and they drove me to college, in Missouri. And, during that trip, he took me to the zoo, which is probably my favorite place is the zoo. So he took me to the zoo and then he took me on a hike, which I also love hiking. And he proposed to me on the hike. And then, needless to say, I didn't stay at college because I was like, this is ridiculous. This is a lot of money for one semester. So I went back home and then got married shortly after that.
Okay. And so you got married, and then where did you guys reside?
So we got married in Ormond Beach, Florida, because that's where we ended. That's where our parents are. So we got married there, and then he lived in Nashville, Tennessee. So I moved to Tennessee right after our wedding, and then started our life together there. And it was a journey. And I don't think, I don't know what I was chasing. When I look back at that 21-year-old me, I think I was chasing love. I was chasing belonging. I was chasing, I desperately wanted to be loved by somebody. And for them to like, I wanted to love them and I wanted to love them to love me back. And so when I look at the younger version of me, I'm like, I should have asked a lot more questions than I did, right? But I didn't. And I was like, and nobody could tell me different. Like, I'm going to do this. It's going to be great. So we started off a journey, and it was, you know, bumpy. It was a lot, like a lot of people's stories at the beginning. You're trying to figure out how to merge two people into a marriage that have different upbringings and different value systems and different ways of viewing the world. And so I don't think that I understood a lot of that, but I had a passion for, God. I always have. I just wanted to do something that was going to be impactful. And so we got involved in church and things like that. And then I left my husband. So I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. And, you know, along the journey, 2 years in, you know, it's like, okay, maybe we should try to have a baby. And so there's, you know, parts of our story that I was chasing being a mom. And I found out early on in my story that they had told me that that was likely never going to happen for me and in the way of having babies. And so we did, we did fertility treatment, and that was difficult and expensive. And then we decided my heart couldn't take it anymore. And so we'd always wanted to adopt. And so then we started the adoption process and adopted our son, Isaiah, who's 21 now. And he was our first. He was 4 weeks old when we brought him home. And so, you know, I thought that was like fulfilled that mom dream, that chasing dream around, I'm going to be a mom. I'm like, okay, if he's the only baby I ever have, he is enough. And so in all of that time, Stephen's chasing dreams. He's a chaser. You've known my husband for a long time. So he is a doer. And a go, or like, we are recording this right now, and this is like the day before Hurricane
Idalia or Idalia.
Yeah, Idalia. So we're recording just the day before. Julie lives in Jacksonville, Florida.
So we may not be here next time to record.
And my husband just flew into Orlando for a big event. And he's like, well, they don't cancel, so I can't cancel. So he's always been kind of like that. So anyways, on the journey of chasing, I chased motherhood, got that, was happy and content. A year later, got pregnant with my daughter unexpectedly out of the blue. That was a super big surprise. And again, we felt like, okay, we're good. We got a boy and a girl. We're golden. We're done. All the while all of this is happening, I feel like God had stirred my heart towards ministry in different ways. And so after Ashlyn was born, we were involved in a church in Florida, and I had started a single moms ministry. So for moms and their kids to come on Sundays, and we fed them, like we had a meal every Sunday together, and then childcare for the kids. The moms had a break a little, you know, if that was the only break they got, at least they had a break. And then we talked and different people came and spoke, and my mom actually led the meetings with me. We were back in Florida at this time, and she was a single mom. And so that was just such a beautiful time. So I feel like I've always felt called to be in the healing place somewhere around people's stories, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah.
You know, fast forward a couple of years, then I get pregnant with twins, out of the blue again. We're never supposed to have babies. We don't have twins in our family. Here the twins come. And at this point, we had moved to Mobile. We have moved a lot. My husband has moved us a lot. And so we're in Mobile, Alabama. I found out I'm pregnant with twins, and we're alone. We have no family. You know, the closest family is 6 hours away. And so, and he travels all the time because he's in music business at this point. And it's me, the two bigs, and then pregnant with the twins. And I think I felt, I think when I look back at that, I think I felt alone, you know, hopeful, excited. This is a miracle. I don't know that I was chasing anything at that point. I think I went into survival mode. Like, the dreams that I once had were put on a shelf, you know, and then the twins were born. They were born early. There were some medical issues. And then we went on a long journey of trying to resource one of our children with what they needed as far as medical help and things like that. And I think when I look back at that 30-something season of my life, I don't know that I could chase anything. I feel like I was surviving. And so I had dreams in me, but I feel like they were buried. I don't know that I, you know, at that point I thought, like, I don't think these things are ever going to get resurrected. Like, I don't know that I'm ever going to find my way out of this or find my way back to me. Being a mom of four and a husband that travels, it's a lot on you. And so when I think about those types of chasing dreams in those seasons, I think I was just surviving.
You may have been chasing peace. Not that it was necessarily attainable at the time, but that could be something that you were just like, I need to find resolution to this medical issue. I need to find resolution to this over here. And just so you could settle. But it does feel like chaos to a seven, because there was no settling. There was no solutions that you could get at the time.
There was no escaping, you know, like there was no or healthy ways of escaping, you know. And yes, I did go to the gym. Yes, I did do those things. But I had to bring everybody with me. So it was just heavy, you know, like, I love being a mom, and those were heavy, hard years.
It's so true. I find myself scrolling on my phone sometimes looking at videos and like, oh, that's so sweet. Or, oh my gosh. But I can very quickly mentally go back to being like, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't do it again. I mean, I love my babies, and they're not babies anymore, but I remember feeling very similar, very trapped. I probably called you a few times, like in tears, just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it was a lot. It was a lot. I had two, you had four. So I looked at you as a beacon of hope a lot of the time. Probably you didn't know, but I was like, if she can do it, I can do it.
I did it. I'm still doing it. You know, I think there's lots of reasons that I am still doing it, you know? But I do think that I held on to faith. That was a big part of my story. It's a big part of my journey. I feel like at 13 years old, if I go back to that, like the pivotal point at 13 years old, I was at a youth camp. I feel like God had his hand on me at that point. I made mistakes and decisions and wilded it out through those high school years and all that stuff. So I'm not saying I was perfect by any means. But I do feel like if I look back, I can see the hand of God on a lot of different parts of my story. And at 13, and then at, 19, when I was like, okay, Lord, you can have my life back. Here you go. That was a huge transformation that happened. And then in my 20s, I started to do a little bit of speaking and a little bit of writing. And I thought, like, this is it. This is it. Right. And then all these babies came. And I'm like, I guess it's not it. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I missed it. And then, you go through those hard 30s, those little tiny years with those babies. And then I hit 38, 39. I might've been even a little bit before that, might've even been 37, 38. I felt like, the Lord was like, it's time. And I remember thinking, it's time for what? Like, I am exhausted.
My vacation?
Right. Yeah. Like, I feel unqualified. I feel beat up. I feel confused. I feel lost. I feel alone. And he began to stir something in my heart and in my spirit. And, in like the things that were, that had gotten buried over the years started to kind of come back to the surface. And I got a shovel. I think that's what I did. I think I got a shovel and I was like, I'm going to dig my way back to this. Like, where are you, God, in this? What are you calling me to do? Like, what is this? Why am I here? And so during that time, I did a lot of healing work, lots of therapy, really dug into scripture, found him, found God in all of this, worked through marriage stuff, worked through kids stuff, and then began to take myself seriously. So when in the Enneagram stuff, I really enjoyed learning about myself through that way. And I was like, I love people and I care about healing and restoration. I care about wholeness. I care about helping people get out of their own way because I think I needed it so badly, mm-hmm. That I'm like, man, I'd like to help people do this. So that happened like at like 38, 39, 40, right in this range. I feel like I got my groove back. Like Stella got her groove back. That's a really old movie for those listening. It's a really old movie.
It was your Eat, Pray, Love moment.
I never even saw that movie.
I didn't either. I think she like left her family and stuff. And I was like, well, I can't really get behind that. I mean, as a 7, I probably wanted to sometimes, but she like went and lived in Italy or it was something like that. And she was just like, I'm going to do me. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. But
gosh, yes. Right. Doesn't it sound like just let me just be self-focused. And that's such a great point too, because I talk a ton about self-awareness and all the work that I do. Self-awareness is not self-focused. That is not the same thing. Self-awareness means you're becoming aware of what you're doing, why you're doing it, where it stems from. Self-focused is it's all about me. And that's not the work that I'm doing.
I feel like there's a lot of schools of thought behind, getting to that next chapter in your life or, doing what's best for you. And it really is, it's all about you. And then it's all about how you can fix you. And that's the beautiful thing about the Enneagram is it's not, you can't do anything. Yes, you have to like be willing to go to some of those places to kind of dig through some of the stuff that maybe has been hidden or maybe you've dealt with in a certain way based on your Enneagram number, but it's not solely dependent on you. Like there's, you bring God into the factor, like God, please go to these places with me or, let's dig through and see how that affected me or, I think it helps. The Enneagram has a better understanding of all of the people, the characters around what you went through as well, as opposed to just me. It's like, okay, so my mom was reacting to this, my dad was reacting to this, my family was, this was going on. And then you see, why did I react in such a way? Mm. So it's a more whole picture, I guess.
It is. It really is. And a lot of the therapy work that I did was whole picture. It was like genealogy. Where do I come from? Where does this come from? Where does my husband come from? How is this affecting us? What are the patterns that we're continuing to walk in? And what do we want to stop doing? And so as I have chased this dream of becoming a life coach, which I can't say at 21 that that was my dream. Like that wasn't my dream. My dream was to write and to speak. That was my dream. And I didn't know how or what or why it was even in me, or who did I think I was? And I think in my 20s, late 20s, 30s, that who do I think I am, or that kind of statement, that thought, I felt that from other people. Like, you're not qualified. Who do you think you are? Or you're just a mom, or what are your credentials to do that? Like, there's a lot of those kind of things. And I'm like, oh, so I felt like it just kept making me smaller and smaller, you know? And then as I started to do my own work and started to walk this path, I just said, Lord, I don't know, like, open the doors ahead of me and I'll walk through them. Give me wisdom and discernment so that not every good thing is for me. So help me discern what the good things that are for me are, and help me to close the door to even good things. Help me to say no to good things so that I can run towards great things. And that is really hard, because a lot of the good things that come up, I'm like, I want to do that. And then if I do that, it's going to take me off course to what I feel like is purpose for me. So chasing dreams in my 40s, I just turned 46 this summer, and I cannot believe it. And I'm like, wow, I've lived half my life. That is such a crazy thought.
But being a 7, you're just going to push that to the side and just keep going.
Right. Then it bubbles up and I push it down, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But when I think about 46, I think about half my life, and I think about what do I want the rest to look like? What am I chasing? So I do want to chase dreams, but I want to be aligned at this point. I want to be purposeful in my movements towards purpose. So I'm not interested in all the possibilities. I'm interested in a focused purpose. So at this age, what do I feel called to do? What do I feel passionate about? What do I see God moving, and how do I get to where He is? And so for me, that's people's lives. That's the healing portion. That's like holding space for people to be vulnerable, you know, neutralizing things for people to walk into their story, to help them find healing. I'm super passionate about that. And so when I think about the chasing part today, I'm okay to say no to good things. Mm-hmm. My circle of friends is super small. What I am interested in is narrowed. Like, I'm not out chasing excitement and adventure. However, I do love it. I have to create margin in my life so I can experience it. And I also have to find it in the everyday, ordinary parts of my life.
Yeah, finding that fulfillment in a different way.
Yeah. So slowing down. And I was doing Algebra 1 with one of my twins. Y'all, this is the third year of Algebra 1, and you'd think I would know a little bit of something by now, but I don't. So I've got a big whiteboard. So I got the whiteboard. This is this weekend. I got the whiteboard out, and I've got the answers to the questions. So I'm like, okay, Hope, I know the answer to the question. She's like, that's awesome. Do you know how we get the answer? And I'm like, I have no idea, no idea. And I am like laughing so hard, I cannot breathe. And she is rolling over laughing. But it is those, like, capturing those moments, the everyday moments of life that truly matter, that truly mean something. So when my kids look back, you know, there's memory of me in their story. And it wasn't just me chasing dreams. It was me learning to chase purpose, but also being intentional around what God has already gifted me with. These beautiful children, you know, a husband and a house and a town I love and friends I love. So chasing dreams looks a whole lot different in my 40s.
Yeah.
But man, I like it.
Well, it hits that security piece too. It feels a little bit more secure, a little more grounded than prior. So yeah, that makes total sense. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to different parts of your story and, you know, finding their way through feeling lost and then kind of even determining what those dreams are. You know, like you said, there was a time where you're like, I didn't have dreams. I just had a time I had to wake up and the time I had to go to bed. And those little people had to do the same thing. And I think that's okay. And I think that's, I feel like that's one of the challenges of social media, maybe just for somebody like me or you, is you're seeing people at a different time in their life, or they're a different Enneagram number, let's say. And so that they may be more like your husband, where they're just like, go, 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 do, 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 do. They may be missing some of those little pieces that you were talking about that you've discovered throughout your story. And they're just hustling. Like, they're hustling to hustle to hustle. And I don't even like the word hustle, because I'm like, oh, that sounds really fast. Like, I can't do that. So I feel like I have to continually be like, that is not, A, that's not your dream. B, that's not even who you are. Like, even if you achieved all of those things, would you even care? And probably not. So I think that's cool about your story.
Well, I think what's good about this too, is that as we watch other people chase dreams, what feels like hustle to us might not be hustle to them. Okay. Because they're just different personality types. There's different drives and there's different person or purpose on their lives. Okay. So what feels like hustle or craziness or striving, achieve all these different things. What I've learned is to recognize, like, I don't like the way that that makes me feel, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It's some of it's not my business. Like, it's not my business. So I don't like the way that it makes me feel. So I judge things because I don't like how I feel about that. It makes me feel icky about me. It makes me feel like I'm not being as productive, or it makes me feel like I'm lazy because I'm not chasing like them. So I try to pay attention to some of those, because you do look at social media and you're like, oh my gosh, they're so much further along than me. And then I'm like, okay, when did they start? Where are they at? And people will say things to me about, like, how did you get here or whatever? And I'm like, you guys, this took a lot of work. Like, it, running your own business and having lots of different arms in different spaces, it takes intentionality and it takes a lot of behind the scenes that nobody sees. But in that, there's also a balance. So, like, we are bringing my husband up a little bit in that, as an Enneagram 3 who does hustle and does go and all these things. But even inside of his story, we have found a really healthy rhythm around what feels best for us. And so he's home almost every weekend, and our weekends are slow and they're with our family and they're intentional. The nights that he is home, we are at dinner. Sometimes we're at dinner with clients, but our kids are invited to those dinners, he's making dinner, I'm making dinner. There's what we look at outside and watch people chase. It's just a snapshot, but we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You know what I mean? And like how people are making it sustainable for them. And that's, I think that that's the key to that chasing dreams and staying stable, is what is sustainable for you as an individual, you as a couple, if you're in a relationship, and if you've got children, what is sustainable? Because it's not the same, and it's so different in different seasons.
Yeah.
Which you see that. So my husband and I flew up to celebrate Julie's husband this past weekend, and our kids are all big.
And mine are not.
So we're at a different season, and yeah, their kids are not. Their kids are still little. And so it's kind of like, in different seasons, you get to run differently.
Right.
You know, we think about chasing dreams. I think I want people to hear that, because sometimes we can look at somebody's midway or somebody's ending or even finish line, and we don't realize what it took them to get there or how long it took them to get there.
I love that. I love that we kind of broke this down. And you know so much about the Enneagram, and you're able to help people because you lived it. You worked the work, you did this. And so it's ingrained in your head, and your passion comes from the fact that you saw growth and change from it. You know, it's not just information, it's not just words, it's actually lived and breathed through your life. And so that's the difference, I think, too, with you, is that you're like passionate about it because you're like, this changed my life. Right. And I want to see this change your life. And I think that is so cool. Mm. So in conclusion, what is one piece of advice you would give to someone who feels alone or lost on their journey, whatever part of their journey they're on?
What I think about now is I think about setting goals, and I think about smaller goals and in different seasons. So if you have a really big goal, and you're in the season that you can chase that goal, then chase it. But you're going to have a map to know where you're going. Okay. If you find yourself in the middle season, like I said, like in my 20s, I'm like, oh, I want to do this. Then I had babies. And in my 30s, it was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to do anything but this. If you find yourself kind of in that middle section around, like, I think I lost my goal, my dream, my vision. I don't want to chase anything. I want to chase a nap. That's okay. You know, so notice when you need self-care around, even the chasing the dream. And in that slower season, it's not a slow season. So let me say in that crazy busy season, but slow dreaming season, this might be when in your quiet time, you just start to journal a little bit about, like, what am I passionate about? What do I care about? What would I like to do if I could do something? So I think of mapping it out at any stage of the game, it's kind of mapping out where you want to go. So you go, if we have a big dream, but we don't have any map to figure out how to get there, we're never going to arrive. So map it out, and there's going to be detours. There's going to be changes, and that's okay. It's life.
Thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversation about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, resources, and individual coaching, you can visit enneagramwithjb.com. And while you're there, make sure to order Jackie's newest book, The Enneagram and Your Marriage. We'll see you next time on Enneagram with JB.